And good morning, 1380 WPHM, Caleb in for Paul all week long. And another one of the regular guests that I like to have on whenever I'm filling in for the morning show is a familiar voice to those of you who've been listening to WPHM over the past few years. She is an anchor and reporter with Brownfield Ag News, reporting on Michigan dairy, livestock, and crops all across the Great Lakes State. Nicole Heslop joins us right now. Nicole, good morning once again.
Good morning, Caleb. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, Nicole, I appreciate you making some time for us this morning. And one of the industries that is really important to this region, and one that I don't think we give enough credit or time about talking about, is, of course, the agriculture industry. And we've been talking about how restaurants and retail and manufacturers have all been facing significant hurdles due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but also farmers have been extremely hurt by the recent pandemic as well. Nicole, over the past few months, what kind of stories have you been reporting on out there in Michigan regarding farmers and COVID-19?
I think if we like to eat, this is definitely going to affect us, and has affected us when you went to the grocery store and maybe there's some items that you couldn't find and you still couldn't find today. Thankfully, I like to say we live in Michigan. We're the second most diverse state in the country, which means we have food more readily available and a little bit closer, especially now that it's in harvest. And throughout the pandemic, food was arriving at grocery stores. It's just a matter of what kind would show up, and maybe if you shopped at your local farmer's market or had, you know, a neighbor or farm stand you're going to, maybe help fill in some of those gaps. I'm from a dairy farm, and our family actually has a brewery and a meat market. So in a weekend, we saw a triple-digit demand for people in the local community looking for local meat, and they couldn't find it in the grocery store, but they could find it at our brewery. So kind of an interesting time, I think, for everyone involved in the food industry. Definitely will not forget. And to that, dairy is one of our largest segments of agriculture in Michigan, and it really prices for farmers have went from extreme lows to extreme highs as people were trying to find cheese and fluid milk at retail, and it was supposed to be distributed to food service. So there's been quite a shift in prices and the futures and the cash prices, and you know, some of that production where it's moved, if it couldn't be processed because of plant delays, some of that was dumped. So all kinds of issues. Looking at from the farm, how it got to processing and how it got to consumers during that time.
All right, we got to back up just a minute. Plug your brewery here, Nicole. you're over in the southwest corner of the state. Where's it at? What's it called?
I am probably a little bit smaller town than Port Huron. Allegan, Michigan is kind of centrally located between Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, and Holland. So a little small town. But the county seat for this county, and the Schendorf Brewing Company is the name because that's my family's name. That's our dairy. That's the cattle company they have, and my husband there is the brewer. So we're open now, partial capacity, like anywhere else you'd go, and have outdoor seating. So it's kind of fun to have. I actually took a little time off during this time to have a baby, and it's very nice to enjoy some of those beers again.
Yeah. Congratulations too on the baby, Nicole. We heard your absence the last few months on WPHM. It's great to have you back here. But yes, I'm sure you had some well-deserved time off there. So congrats again.
Hope you enjoyed my maternity leave. I went into labor the day after the national emergency and came back the day they reopened. So all of those 12 weeks was when our baby boy Dean kind of was home with us, with everybody else was staying home too.
That's great. And Nicole, you mentioned the harvest, just starting to get underway here in Michigan. In fact, wrapping up as far as wheat goes. Wheat in Michigan usually planted in the fall and winter of the previous year, then harvest in July. So that's about over, isn't it?
Absolutely. So wheat harvest wrapped up pretty much in the last week or so at the beginning of August. And compared to 2019, it's been a pretty good year for farmers. There weren't as many planting issues. It was less wet. The hardest part was really that heat and that dry wave of weather that we had in June and part of July. I just spoke with Michigan State Extension a little while ago, and they kind of recorded between 30-plus days of over 85 straight days or dry days across Michigan, and that happened the same time that wheat was putting on grain. So that's what the farmers harvesting, knocked down yields a little bit, but overall the quality was exceptional because it wasn't wet, and harvest, for the most part, will be decent for farmers, and compared to what they had to deal with the past few years, I think it was a welcomed relief.
And the next big harvest seasons, we have, what, corn and soybeans coming up, right? And the soybean crop looking good this year?
Absolutely. In Michigan, we have exceptional crops all across the state, and that's seeming pretty similar across the Corn Belt. A lot of this great weather of those long, hot days is exceptional for corn, which it helps put on some more yield and bushels, and it hasn't had a lot of disease or pest concerns. Tar spot has been the newest developing disease here in Michigan and a few other Great Lakes states, but because it's been so dry, it's really only an issue in irrigated fields and maybe areas where it hasn't, where it's been in the past, and for the thumb of Michigan, it's not quite in that region yet, so I think growers will be a little bit more of an advantage in your region, and the weather is helping definitely in that respect.
And we're talking to Nicole Heslop. She's an anchor and reporter with Brownfield Ag News. You hear her reports every morning here on 1380 WDPHM. Nicole, a couple of federal programs rolled out to help farmers due to just the really, really weird market impacts that COVID-19 has had. Like you said, it fluctuated from record lows to record highs almost overnight, it seems. What is this food assistance program? And if farmers are interested, how can they still apply for that?
Absolutely. So a year ago when we were talking, Caleb, trade, it was definitely the focus in the market disruptions through the market facilitation program. Three different rounds of payments rolled out to farmers across the country to help those that were impacted by trade disputes. And no one at that time, I think, would have predicted the impact coronavirus could have had on our markets and our whole economy. Part of the relief package is called the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. Like you mentioned, half of that, not necessarily half, but part of that is going into direct family food box programs. So USDA is making direct purchases from farmers and from food suppliers that would then go into food assistance programs and different SNAP programs to kind of help those families that are unemployed or have been impacted by coronavirus. But on the farmer side, those farmers that have had market impacts, maybe they, like we mentioned with milk, didn't have the market as where it would have been, or cattle producers had processing issues, and as well as pork and poultry. So those different commodities, there is this CFAP program, Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, with $16 billion available to agriculture. And so far, only not quite $7 billion has been sent out to farmers. There's a weekly update from USDA. When it comes to, you know, where is that money going, cattle is one of the largest segments, as well as milk, corn, hogs, soybeans. But there's also been a lot of specialty crops that have been getting funds distributed. They just added 50 new additional crops in the last month or so, and potentially will be adding more crops as they review some of the specialty crop comments at USDA. When it comes to Michigan, we've received about $333 billion of that assistance. The largest segment is going to the dairy industry here in our state, which is one of our largest ag sectors. They've received about $70 billion in payments, and businesses that did experience a loss and haven't applied for this information, you'd go to your local Farm Service Agency office or check it out online at farmers.gov, kind of see if you qualify, see if this is a program for you. And I think there's money available, so I'm sure there's a lot in the ag industry. If times are tough and you did experience a loss, definitely take advantage of that.
No, definitely take advantage of it. I think farmers from time to time are hesitant to take advantage of these programs, but it's made available for a reason. And that's because it's a very important industry here in Michigan. It's something that we need to protect. So, yeah, if you're right, if you haven't taken advantage of it, look into it and see if it's right for you.
I would say specific to Michigan also, with all of the social distancing and PPE requirements that agriculture and many other businesses are being required, there is a specific grant available here in Michigan for farms or for ag processors if they have had to have additional costs because of new equipment that they're required, new facility changes that maybe are taking place because of coronavirus. There is state funds also available to help employ in that program.
We were talking about dairy, and we're gonna close our conversation here. And again, we're speaking to Nicole Heslop, who is an anchor and reporter with Brownfield Ag News. She's based here in Michigan, reporting on Michigan crops and the agribusiness industry. Nicole, when it comes to dairy, and of course you're a dairy farmer, so this is something that you've probably been following very closely, both as an individual and as part of your job, is that giant cheese plant up near St. John's, just a few miles north of Lansing, right in the center of the Lower Peninsula. How is that coming along, Nicole? Or is that still on track to open this year?
All reports from Glambia is that it is set to open. Their construction plans or their public announcements about how far they are on construction has indicated that they are going to open sometime later this fall. And with that comes a lot of questions of how the added cheese on the market will impact dairy prices. It is great to have a home for producers' milk. So how long after that opens, I think we might see some production increases. But on the other end, because prices have been so low, farmers have been either cutting their herds to smaller sizes, they haven't been having as many replacement heifers come through. And what that means is even if they want to expand, there physically aren't the cows available to do that, to come into the herd. So the expansion we might see would be coming from maybe some nutritional changes, some feed changes, and kind of what they could do to help the health and well-being of their animals versus just adding new ones.
Something else that could significantly change the dairy market here in Michigan is this pending acquisition of Dean Foods, the largest dairy processor in the United States, by DFA, which is a farmer-owned dairy cooperative. Nicole, where are we sitting at as far as this acquisition goes?
Yep, Dairy Farmers of America is the largest dairy cooperative in the nation. So we have members here in Michigan and in your region that they're part of that membership. They send their milk to DFA plants or where they have contracts. So Glambia members are also, the Glambia plant also would be accepting some DFA milk, and Cass City plant is a DFA plant. So the Dairy Farmers of America is in negotiations right now to gain assets from Dean Foods. Dean Foods is the largest dairy processor, not dairy cooperative, in the country. So they're in an antitrust review, but when the largest cooperator acquires the largest processor, I think there'll definitely be changes. Maybe some of the plants that are older or smaller in different regions potentially could see some closures or adaptions to new ingredients, new products, and to help streamline that cooperative overall. I definitely think you'll see some changes if that does go through, what's happening at those local places.
Well, what I love about Michigan, I love many things about Michigan, but we make so many cool agricultural products, and of course dairy is one of the big ones. Just a side note here, if you're going shopping in the supermarket, take a look at the your bottle of milk and make sure it has a 26 on it, because if it doesn't have a 26, you're not helping Michigan farmers. Is that safe to say?
Yep, the bottle of milk has a print on it that says 26. That is the plant number for Michigan. So I know if you go to Kroger, they actually have their own dairy plant, that most all dairy products that are Kroger-based are from Michigan. And my family is in the Fairlife side, so any Fairlife product is actually produced mostly by farmers here in Michigan and is bottled and processed in the plant in Coopersville on the west side of Michigan. So those are definitely two brands. You can't go wrong. They'll always be from Michigan. Other ones, like we've mentioned with Prairie Farms, or if it says Michigan, sometimes in the marketing, some Theoplate brands are coming from a plant in the upper lower peninsula. So that 26 mark will say where it's produced, and you can kind of Google if there's a different number. Maybe it's coming from a surrounding state too.
Yeah, no, I like doing that, and I always make sure to buy the product from Michigan whenever it's available too. So that's a good reminder. Support Michigan farmers, support Michigan agriculture, buy local as much as possible. And Nicole, thanks for joining us this morning, filling us in on some of these changes and the ever-evolving situation that is Michigan agriculture.
Thank you, Caleb. I appreciate you having me on this morning. If people are interested in following some of our agricultural news, we are online as well at brownfieldagnews.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, have some weekly video podcast updates as well. So if maybe there's some stories that aren't making it through the airwave or you've missed one, they're all online as well, and some of our extended interviews as well.
Well, sounds good, and we'll continue listening to your updates. Always find them very informational here on WPHM. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you, Caleb.
All right, this is 1380 WPHM.